Good morning. For anyone who doesn't know me, my name is Lynn, and I'm part of the staff team here at St. Mark's. I want to say thank you to the worship team for that opening worship this morning, because, to be honest, I kind of feel like I'd like to just sing those four songs again and not give my sermon, because I think Graham has wonderfully picked up some of what I would like to share with you this morning. Let's pray before we begin. Father, I ask that the words that I would speak would be true to your holy word and would be glorifying to your name. Amen. Just two verses I've been given this morning. So let's have a little bit of context to those verses. Most scholars would say that 1 Peter is written by the wonderful disciple that we know as Simon Peter. There are a few people that contest that for various reasons, but the vast majority think that it was written by Simon Peter, that wonderful disciple who was impetuous, had the foot-in-mouth disease, and whom we love so much because many of us can often relate to some of the mistakes that Peter made. If you go back to the very opening verse of 1 Peter, you'll see that he is writing, it says here, strangers in the world. The dispersion, some Bibles would use the word dispersion. Peter is writing to Jewish believers who are scattered throughout these five different named areas of the Roman Empire. And the overriding theme of 1 Peter is one of grace. And he is encouraging the believers to live faithfully for God in the midst of being aliens in a hostile world. Our theme for today is messenger of the gospel. I think you said message earlier. It's messenger of the gospel. We can't separate those two completely, but it's the last of six M's that we've been looking at in our Fruitfulness on the Frontline series. And in the house group notes, it says that the aim of this particular study is to grow in confidence and intentionality in sharing the good news of Jesus with those on our front lines. To grow in confidence and intentionality in sharing the good news of Jesus with those on our front lines. I would just like to play a tiny round of word association with you. So I'm going to say a particular word, and I want you to think, what is the first thing that comes into your mind? What do you associate with that word? So if I say the word evangelism, what does that make you think of? I wasn't expecting that answer. What? Yobbos. I'm not even sure I want to ask for an explanation of that one. Anyone else want to give me any feedback? What do you think of? Yes. Billy Graham. Billy Graham. Okay. Karen? Jesus? Street? Okay. Sharing the gospel? Preaching? Sorry? Street preachers. How many of you relate yourself with Billy Graham, street preachers? Is that you? How do you feel about evangelism? Come on, be honest. Anyone find it quite fearful, the thought of evangelizing? Anyone feel they don't know enough to evangelize. Okay. When I joined Youth with a Mission, which is a global missions organization, almost 30 years ago, on a Friday night in my training course, it was compulsory for us to go into Glasgow city center, and we would get paired up with somebody else, and we would get allocated a street or maybe one of the train stations in Glasgow, and we had to go and find people and tell them about Jesus. And then we had to come and report back. And there was no getting out of it. It really didn't matter how sick you were. It was pretty compulsory. One of the difficult things about sharing the gospel on a Friday night in Glasgow city centre is that you don't find many people who are sober. Sometimes that makes the job easier. Sometimes it makes it a little bit harder. But for many of us, when we think about evangelism, we might compare it with going to the dentist. It's like, I will if I have to, but really I'd rather not. Yeah? Well, you might be pleased to know that there is nowhere that I know of in Scripture that it actually says we are all called to be evangelists. The role of an evangelist is a very specific calling. However, in Acts 1:8, this was said to the apostles, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." I believe that that scripture is as true for us today as when it was spoken to the disciples. And we could paraphrase that and say, you, people of St. Mark's, are called to be my witnesses throughout Gillingham, the Medway towns, on your front lines, and unto the ends of the earth. When we come into faith, we enter into relationship with God. We submit ourselves to Him. We're called to share the gospel message because we are called according to God's purposes. In his book, Purpose Driven Life, Rick Warren writes this: "The purpose of your life is far greater than your own personal fulfillment, your peace of mind, or even your happiness. It's far greater than your family, your career, or even your wildest dreams and ambitions. If you want to know why you were placed on this planet, you must begin with God. You were born by His purpose and for His purpose." In Romans 8:28, it says, "And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose." In Matthew 5, we're called to be salt and light to those around us. Salt has many qualities. It cleanses, it purifies, it brings flavor. Light dispels darkness and brings hope. Does that describe us? It should. Why are we called to share the gospel? If nothing else, because life is fragile, life is short, and eternity is long. There should be a sense of urgency about sharing the gospel and the good news of Jesus with other people. Our passage in Peter exhorts us to always be prepared to give an answer when people ask the reason for the hope that we have. Those of you that know me well will know that I'm an advocate for what we would term friendship evangelism. I believe that relationship building with people is absolutely vital. I think we live in a society where we almost have to earn the right to speak into people's lives. I think there is a lot of truth in the saying that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. I am not saying that there isn't a place for evangelistic services or preaching on the street. I came to faith here at St. Mark's through an evangelistic service. But friendship evangelism, relationship building, is the way that God has wired me personally. So what I share with you this morning is through that lens and is born out of some of my own personal experiences. St. Francis of Assisi said, "Preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words." Preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. How we live our lives is absolutely vital to our witness as believers. But at some point, words have to be spoken. Truth needs to be proclaimed. And the gospel message needs to be explained. Romans 10:14 tells us, "How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them?" I think, I haven't looked up the original Greek of that word preaching, but I think we need to have in our minds that that is not standing up the front of the church and preaching, and not necessarily standing on the streets and preaching, but it is about a willingness to open our mouths and speak of Jesus. If we're to share the good news with others, we need to know it. We need to live it. We need to understand it, breathe it. And yes, we need to be able to communicate it. So what holds us back? Fear for some. Often we will feel like we don't know enough, because we will compare ourselves to people who have been in faith longer than we have, people who can quote scripture better than we can. I was on a plane going to China a number of years back, and I sat in between a young Chinese guy who was reading the book Purpose Driven Life by Rick Warren. If you have not read that book, I highly recommend it. And I started talking to him. He told me that he had come to faith during his time here as a student, and he'd recently been baptized, and someone had given him the book Purpose Driven Life. And he was reading it and trying to make more sense of this faith that he had come to. The other side of me was a man who proudly proclaimed that he used to be a Christian until he woke up one morning, saw the light, and realized that it was all a complete load of nonsense. And I asked him, you know, what made him think that? And he started to talk to me about the fact that the Bible had so many contradictions in it, and that within Genesis, there were two accounts of creation. What? I had never heard that. I had never heard anybody make such a claim. And I didn't have my Bible handy. And he talked at me and he quoted scripture, I felt completely, completely inadequate to answer any of the things that he said to me. And in the end, seriously, it was almost 2 hours we talked. And in the end, I put my hand up like this. And I said, sir, I can see that there is nothing that I can say to you that is going to make you change your mind. And I can guarantee there is nothing that you can say to me that is going to make me change my mind. So let's call a truce and get some sleep. And I refused to engage in any more conversation with him during that flight. So many of us feel like we don't know enough. So what can we do? What can we do if we feel that we just don't know enough to share the gospel? Well, the first thing we can do is to work with what we do know. Work with what you do know. Your own story is of vital importance in your sharing of the gospel. Learn to celebrate your own story. On that plane to China, I had no theological answers for that man. But I had my story. And there was nothing that he could say that would take the truth of my story away from me. There is no one formula for sharing the gospel. Yes, there are tools. There are things like the four spiritual laws or two ways to live, numerous others. But the reality is we are all different. And therefore, we will bring our own makeup and our own personality to the process of sharing the gospel. Those we are sharing with are all different. And the circumstances in which we find ourselves will be different. You may have 10 hours on a flight to China, or you may only have 5 minutes at a bus stop. Celebrate your own story. Learn to communicate your own story. And remember that your story is not just about how you came to faith 5, 15, or 30 years ago. Not everyone will want to hear what happened that long ago. But it's about the lessons of life that you're learning right now. It's about the passions that God has placed within you. And yes, it is about the actual message of salvation. If you feel that you don't know enough, then do something about it. Identify what your weak areas are and seek out some help. It's important that we familiarize ourselves with Scripture. Hebrews 12:14 says this, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Scripture is powerful. But our passage in 1 Peter encourages us to share the good news with gentleness and respect. The word of God is not a magic wand to wave over people, neither is it a club. Whilst the Bible, this wonderful word of God, is our point of reference in life, for many people out there and on our front lines, it holds no authority. So when you speak with people, be gentle. Be respectful. Engage in dialogue. Michael Ramsden, who is a teacher of Christian apologetics, says this: the right answer to the wrong question is the wrong answer. The right answer to the wrong question is the wrong answer. What does that mean? It means this: when someone asks you a question, it is very, very easy for us to just give a nice, neat answer to that question. But the reality might be that we don't know the backstory. We don't know what is going on in someone's life. So if someone says to you, why does God allow suffering in the world? And we could come up with a nice, neat, pat answer that says, well, we live in a fallen world and we're all subject to these things, and therefore, you know. But you don't know what's happened. It may be that that person's mother or husband or child has just been given a terminal diagnosis. So the right answer to the wrong question is actually the wrong answer. So engage in dialogue. We live in a society where people are not listened to. And many people are lonely and have few friends. We need to engage in relationship and engage in dialogue with people. If you feel that you don't know enough and you want to learn more, there are so many Bible study tools out there that it's just incredible. So if you want some help, please ask around, ask people, ask in your house group, you know, what has anyone done a study? Learn how to study through a book of the Bible. Learn how to do a topical study. There are people in this church that can help you with that. Sometimes we can read God's word and say, well, I don't really understand that. I don't really understand. I don't know what the context of that is. I don't get that. How many people read God's word and sometimes go, well, it's all nice, but I don't quite understand it. I do that. Okay. Yeah. Let's have some confession here. There are two books that I would like to recommend to you. It's rather worrying that both of these books are bigger than my Bible, but, this one, I use these books a lot, okay, and that's why, and they're in simple words, and I'm a simple person. So this is called With the Word. It's all the W's. It's With the Word by Warren Wiersbe, okay? Warren W. Wiersbe, according to this. I think his parents were having a laugh, but still. It is a chapter-by-chapter Bible handbook. Very, very simple. Gives you verse, almost chapter by chapter, what are the main themes of that chapter? What are the key verses within that book of the Bible? I use both of these books, especially when I'm trying to prepare for days like today. The other one I just discovered earlier this year. It's called Unlocking the Bible. Scary, big book, but it is so helpful. It goes into more detail. But it's really easily written, very, very readable. Not a book that's a bit like the Bible. Don't start at the beginning and try and go through it. But if you're looking at a particular book or passage, it can really help you. Third thing, if you don't feel that you know enough, just be honest with people. Don't try and make it up. Say, actually, I don't know. Say, well, I'll go talk to my minister about that. I don't know what the answer is to that. Okay, it's okay for us not to have all of the answers. So if you feel that you don't know enough, work with what you do know. If you feel you don't know enough, do something about it. And if you feel you don't know enough when you're talking to people, just be honest. Just be honest. Regardless, though, of how little you know, all of us need to be willing to step out of our comfort zones. The reality is that it's often in our weakest moment that the Spirit of God takes that little willingness that we have and does something great with it. It is our availability to God that is of far more importance than our ability. Our availability is of greater importance than our ability. So give him your humble offering of loaves and fishes and allow him to do something great. I've been working with students for almost 13 years now. And there was a time when I was up in Scotland. I was at a very low ebb in my life. I had I'd been diagnosed with depression, and it felt like everything in life was a struggle. Everything. And in the midst of that time, God said to me, Lynn, I want you to start a Christianity Explored course amongst students. What a load of nonsense. How can I start a Christianity Explored course? How can I effectively share the gospel with others when I'm struggling with issues of my own existence? How can I do that? But I did. I walked in obedience to what I really believed God was saying to me. And I can testify today that it was the most life-giving and affirming thing that I could have done. Because by running that course, I was challenged afresh with what I believed, and my faith was reignited. In order for our faith to grow, it has to be challenged. If we don't take steps out of our comfort zone, if we don't take risks, our faith will simply stagnate. One last thing. Never underestimate the value of prayer. I became a Christian 30 years ago this year, here at St. Mark's, and it was probably 2 years after I came to faith that I discovered that two ladies that I worked with up in London used to meet, two Christian ladies, used to meet together in maybe once or twice a week in a lunchtime. I worked in Victoria. They would go to Westminster Chapel. And they asked God to show them who in the company they could pray for. And God said, pray for Lynn Martin. And they prayed faithfully for me to come to know Jesus. And it happened. And I am so grateful for the prayers of those people. So never, ever underestimate the power of your prayers, your faithful prayers, for those who don't yet know Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for the good news of Jesus. Thank you for the sacrifice on the cross. Thank you for all that that means and has meant and will continue to mean for each one of us here. Father, this is the greatest gift that you could give, that anyone could receive. And I pray, Father, that you would give us a sense of urgency, that you would give us boldness, that you would help us on our front lines, in our various relationships with family, neighbors, work colleagues, those who do not yet know you. Father, give us words of life to speak to those people. Give us boldness, give us confidence, give us courage to step out of our comfort zone. Father, that our words and our actions would glorify your name and draw people to your kingdom. Amen.
Would you like to stand?